shouldn't come out.
Shout, Lord, we praise you today, we worship you.
We can do better than this, family. I said, we can do better than this. I remember when I first became a Christian, and I was 16 years old, and I was so shy in church. I was shy to clap my hands. I was shy to lift my hands. I was sure was shy to dance. But you know, the funny thing was, before I became a Christian, I wasn't shy to dance at the club. I wasn't shy to get up on the table, man, and dance. But I get to church all of a sudden, I'm shy. Let me tell you, the Bible says that David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And the Bible says that his wife, Micah, she looked at him and she despised him. She said he's making a fool of himself. He's embarrassing himself. And the Bible says that at that moment she became barren. She never had another child because she looked at David giving God praise. In fact, he was dancing through the streets of Jerusalem in his underpants. I'm not making this up. This is in the Bible. He was in his undergarments. The king of Israel was dancing in the streets of Jerusalem in his underpants, giving God praise with all of his mind. And let me tell you, that's what God delighted. That's what David was, the apple of God's eye. Because David was a worshiper. And I want to encourage you this morning, church, forget about yourself. This is not about you. This is about Him. You need to move your feet this morning. You need to put your hands together this morning. You need to lift your voice this morning. You need to give God some praise this morning. The Bible says, dance before the Lord with all of your might and worship Him. Are you ready today? I mean, you can even jump up and down like this. Just move around a little bit. Give God some praise. Come on. Put your hands together. Let's dance before Him. Thank you.
Have you had any more pain?
That's the first thing. Alan came through those doors. I said, it's good to see you again. And he said to me, Pastor Steve, remember a year ago you prayed for me and I was having pain every day. And I've had no more pain. Who do you think healed him? Was it Pastor Steve? Pastor Steve, I couldn't hear the flea of a headache. But Jesus is the name above every name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to pray if there's anyone here this morning. I want you to know when we pray, things happen. Not because of who we are, but because of the God we pray to. And so if you need prayer this morning, I don't want you to be shy because we all love you. And I want you to step out of the aisle. If you need healing in your body, I want you to step out into one of the aisles and we're going to pray for you. If you have a need, whatever it is, Jesus said, Pastor Steve, I need the Lord's help. Whatever that is, I want you to step in the aisle right now and we're going to pray for you. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray. Step in the aisle. We're going to pray. Stretch your hands toward Debbie. Pray, come on. In the name of Jesus, Lord, as I lay my hands upon Debbie, I release your healing power, your healing anointing. I command her eye to be healed, her sinuses to be clear. In the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you for your healing anointing that flows through Debbie right now. In the name of Jesus. Why did they fall down? He's right. They couldn't stand up, that's why. That's why people fall down. Can't stand up. You know, when they came to arrest Jesus, Jesus said, who are you looking for? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I'm he. And all the soldiers fell down on the ground. Someone said, well, that church is weird. You know that weird church? They pray for people that fall over. That's weird. No, it's not weird. It's just biblical. I can't help it. Your church doesn't do what the Bible says. We actually believe it. We do it. Oh, well, we do it. Healing. Lift your hand, Perry. Praise God. Jesus is your healer, right? Lord, I thank you. You said the believer will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Lord, as I lay my hands upon Perry right now, I release your healing anointing to flow through him in the name of Jesus. I command his hip to be healed. I thank you, Lord, for doing reconstructive surgery right now, but without any pain. I thank you that all pain goes in the name of Jesus. I thank you for healing and restoring, Lord. You created this hip, and I thank you for healing it. I give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, be healed, Perry. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. In Jesus' name. Amen. Is anyone else who is praying? Right, what's your name? Mary Beth. Your first time here today, right? Could you come up? Who invited you? You found it. I'm glad you did. Lord, I just lay my hands upon Mary Beth. I thank you, she's your child. I pray right now that your healing power would flow through her body and heal her, Lord, totally, completely, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. I thank you for touching her right now. I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Happen again. Happen again. She's okay. Do you want prayer? You want to pray? Stephen, just pray. Come on, close your eyes. In the name of Jesus, I release the healing power of God to flow through your hips, through your thighs. Lord, I thank you for healing Stephen. I thank you that you are his healer. I praise you, Lord, right now, that your healing anointing is healing him, restoring him. In Jesus' name, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor, Lord. You alone are worthy. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise God. Denise, is it for healing? You're going tomorrow to Trinidad. Amen. Let's pray. I know. Your house burned down last time. Your house burned down, right? You're going back to deal with that? Lord, as Denise goes to Trinidad, stand behind her, please. I just thank you that you are with her. I thank you that you are her provider. Lord, I just ask you to provide for her to rebuild this house. I ask you to bring the right people across her path. I ask you to open the right doors for her. Let your favor go before her. I pray, Lord, you go ahead of her and make the crooked places straight. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you are with Denise. Wherever she goes, you protect her. The angels of God are kept about her. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, fixing our eyes on the Lord. And I just get such a joy and excitement rise up in my heart, because we as believers are not powerless. The Bible, if you just go back and read through the book of Acts, I mean, it was the Holy Spirit. The promise was that He would lead you, that He would guide you, that He would tell you things to come. When they had angels show up, when they were in danger, they had healings happen. Peter's shadow fell over people and they were healed right where they were. We are not powerless as believers, amen? There's an incredible power that we can tap into. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
for tomorrow. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. We remember those who have given their lives for our freedom. And the Bible says, in fact, Jesus himself said, he said, no greater love has a man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And we honor and we remember all those who laid their lives down so we can be sitting here today in freedom, worshiping God. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Praise God. How many served in the military? Raise your hand if you served. Raise your hand. Know that we are excited because we're on the countdown to getting into our new building. We are. Show us some pictures there, please, media. We are. We're trusting God to move in July 1st, which is Sunday. That's what we're trusting for. We've had a series of miracles. In fact, it's been a miracle from the beginning. Hasn't it?
Yeah.
We have some pictures back there of the building. We purchased the building. The Lord opened the door on Indian Town Road. Right up by the Jupiter Fitness, right next door to Jupiter Fitness Gym and Burrito Brothers. I'm sure we'll have the pictures come up there soon. They're switching over. So, we had a little delay in our building because, as I told you, the city initially didn't say anything about this, but they came back and said we want you to put in a fire sprinkler system. And a fire sprinkler system is $52,000. That's how much we were quoted, so we didn't really want to do that. So we met with the city and said, is there anything else we can do any other way? And so they said, look, we could put a firewall and divide the building and put this firewall, which a firewall is basically double drywall. And if we did that, then we could avoid the sprinkler systems, which is a huge saving. So we had to go and alter the plans and then submit it to the city. They have to review the plans. The fire marshal has to review it. All this takes time. And so it's delayed us the last 2 weeks. We've had the electrics going on every day. The electrics is making great progress. But we want to get in and do the drywall, and we want to put the ceilings in. And we can't do that until we have this review completed. So that's what we're waiting on. But that's the meeting we had. Remember, we had our first prayer meeting when we just finished demolition at the new building. Show me some other pictures that you got back there. That's doing some work. There you go. We've got the stage. We met with the band yesterday. We're deciding where we're going to be. And that's early pictures. Demolition. Keep on going. There you go. Devin, the outside of the building, there's the lobby. Because, of course, these are old. We've got walls up since then. I mean, you're getting the whole review here in a minute or two. Before and after. There we go. See the Ascend Church opening soon. We're going to be launching a new church called Ascend Church. Okay, there it is. Ascend Church, 1224 Indian Town Road. I want to thank everyone who has given. I want to thank everyone. You know, it's been a miracle. So far, we have, you have given just on $250,000. And we need about $50,000 to finish. We're almost there. And how many of you believe that God is going to be able to do that? You know, right? And so, I just want to read this testimony because I thank everyone who has given. And, people, I told a few weeks ago how a couple in our church, they gave $25,000 to the new building. And it's not like they're multi-millionaires. And so I spoke to them and said, how are you able to do that? And they said, well, we had some money that we had saved. We're going to buy a new truck because our truck is 10 years old. But the Lord spoke to us. Instead of buying the truck, we gave the money into the new building. Wow. Give a round of applause. Well, first of all, I'm believing God's going to give them a better truck than they intended to buy themselves. And so I told that story in church. And somebody else, that was on Sunday, on the Monday, someone someone called us and said, when you told that story, the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord told me to give everything that I had in my savings account. And she wrote a check for $6,000, everything she had, and came to our house. I've got to do this now. And so then somebody else heard that. Michelle. Michelle's been at our church for about 4 weeks now. And she heard that story. And so she said, she went home and she said, I've got a guitar that's valuable and has been sitting around for years and years and years. I'm going to sell it. And I'm going to give that money to the church. So then she sent me this text. See, God blessed me with an insight to sell my guitar and tithe the difference to make it $1,000. You gave $1,000. Because of that story you told about the truck money those people gave to the church. And she said, after I gave that $1,000, I was promoted in my company to a diamond. Now, she's in a network marketing business, and diamond is the highest level in her business. And it's a significant achievement. It unlocks the last piece of the compensation plan and makes me officially a leader in the company. I'm so blessed. She said, as soon as I tithe, I've got 5 new customers. So let me tell you. Can never outgive God. God is no man's debtor. And he said, when you give, I will cause men to give back to you. Not what you gave, but good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. In other words, much more will come back to you when you give. You cannot outgive God. So I want to thank those people who have given and made these sacrifices. And I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm believing God is going to bless you abundantly because of your sacrifice. And we still are trusting God for $50,000. And so I'm asking you please to ask the Lord, what would He have you do? Because all the money we need is in our pockets. I should say in your pockets. It's all there. God's not going to rain it down from heaven. Here you go, Steve. Here's that $50,000 you need. No, it's all here. We've got to listen to the Lord. What do you want me to do? And when you do what God puts in your heart, God will bless you beyond what you imagine. You agree with that? Well, come on, give God thanks. Give Him a round. Are you ready for the Word of God this morning? Let me just mention before I'll do that later. Ready for God's Word this morning? Anyone bring their Bible to church? Where's my Bible at? Let me tell you right now, this is the most precious book in all the world. Your Bible. You need to have your own Bible that you can read every day. And you can write notes. I've had this one for years. This is my preaching Bible. I've got different Bibles. I've got study Bibles, preaching Bibles. Because this is a little one, you see. But you need a Bible. And bring it to church. Because we're here to learn God's Word. Are you ready?
Yes.
Amen. Father, we thank you for your presence here today. I thank you for every person that's here. And I know not one person sitting here or watching this is doing so by an accident. But they're here by your divine hand. And I pray, Lord, that you will speak to every heart. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint your word today. I pray, Lord, that you will bring revelation and understanding and that we will be transformed by your word and by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to speak about the two yous. The two yous. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse number 22, the Word of God says that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man. Say the old man.
The old man.
Which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then it says, and that you put on the new man. Say the new man.
The new man.
So it says, put off the old man and put on the new man. Right? Move on, Tasha. Tasha, thank you. Now, there's two people on the inside of every one of us. There's the strong, disciplined, confident, upright you. And then there's the weak, insecure, compromising you. There's the positive, faith-filled, big dreams, you. And there's the negative, discouraged, never going to happen, you. We all got these contradictions, these inconsistencies. I mean, you're a good person, you love the Lord. Most of the time, you're friendly, you're easygoing. But if someone pushes the wrong buttons, if they're rude to you, harsh to you, then the other you can come out. I mean, he might have been hidden for 2 months. You thought he was gone. But he's still in there. There is a battle constantly taking place between the two yous. The scripture calls it the battle between the flesh and the spirit. If in Galatians 5:17, it says the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. And if you read it from the New Living Translation, it says, you know, I like to sometimes read scriptures from more than one translation. And it says in the New Living Translation, it says the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the spirit wants. And the spirit gives us the desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. Now there is a battle that is going on constantly between your old carnal fleshly nature giving into our feelings or compromising or telling somebody off. That's the old nature. Then there's the new redeemed nature. You see, when you gave your life to Christ, when you accepted Jesus into your heart, the Bible says you became a brand new creation. You became a brand new person. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. How many of you are in Christ today? How many of you say, I'm a new creation today? It says, the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And the Living Translation says it like this. When if someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. How many of you know when you gave your life to Christ, you're not the same anymore? You became brand new. The old man passed away. You became a brand new creation. And we celebrate that. That's great news. But you know what I've learned? The old man may be dead, but he sometimes gets resurrected. He might have died, but don't kid yourself. He can get back up again. You ever heard of the walking dead? Let me tell you. We see this in the scripture with Peter. Peter was a faithful disciple, a close friend of Jesus. He was strong. He was committed. In fact, his name means rock. That's what Jesus said to him. In Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said, I say you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I'll build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it. Now, Jesus wasn't talking about building the church on Peter. He said, Peter, you're a rock, but I'm going to build my church on the revelation of who I am. So now, there's nobody that God had more confidence in than Peter. When the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, Peter was so loyal, he was so determined to stand up for Jesus that he pulled out his sword and he cut off one of the soldiers' ears. He was ready to die defending Christ. That was the strong Peter. That was the faithful Peter. That was the rock. That would be great if that was the only Peter. But there was another Peter in there that came out from time to time. When they arrested Jesus and they took him to the high priest, the Bible says Peter followed along from a distance. He was standing outside in the courtyard, warming himself by the fire. There were guards all around. A young lady came over and said, aren't you one of Jesus' disciples? And what did he say? What are you talking about? I don't know him. Then another person came up and said, are you sure? You're a Galilean. Are you sure you're not one of his disciples? He said, I'll tell you, I don't know a man. Then one of the servants of the high priest, who was related to the person whose ear Peter cut off, she came out and she said, I know you, his disciple. I saw you in the garden when we arrested him. This time Peter got mad. He started cursing and swearing. I'm telling you, blankety blank blank. I don't know the blankety blank man. Just a little earlier, he was defending Jesus. What happened? The yellow Peter came out. You see, there were two Peters in there. There was the kind Peter and the curse you out Peter. There was the defend you Peter and the deny you Peter. There was the great to see you today, Peter, and the I can't stand to see you today, Peter. I would love to tell you there's only one of you in you, and that you're not like Peter. You didn't get the rude you. You didn't get the compromising you. You didn't get the curse you out you. But that wouldn't be true. Because the other you is in all of us. We are a new creation. But let me tell you, your flesh is not a new creation. Your flesh is not redeemed. And even though the old man has passed away, even though our spirit is recreated in the image of God, the flesh isn't new, and it will try and resurrect that old man. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 13, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. And the Passion Bible says, in the Passion Translation, it says, when you live controlled by the flesh, you're about to die. Say, God doesn't want. Everybody say this, say, God doesn't want my flesh to control me. The Living Bible says, if you keep on following your flesh, you're lost and you will perish. Now, how many of you know this isn't talking about physical death? Because how many know we're all going to die? Whether you sin or not, trust me, we're all going to die physically. So when it says here that is controlled by the flesh is going to die, it's not talking physical, because we're all going to die physically. So it must be referring to something else. I believe it's talking about spiritual death. Yeah. In Ephesians 2 verse 1, it says, you he made alive, who were dead in trespass and sin. Do you know before you gave your life to Christ, you were dead? Not physically, but spiritually. Because you were, if you're separated from God, who is the source of all life, if you are separated from him, you're dead. You might be living and breathing, but you're separated from God's life. When you accept Christ, Then the life of God comes on the inside of you, recreates you, makes you his child, cleanses you of all your sin. You become a brand new creation. Are you with me?
Yes.
So now, when the scripture says that if we let our flesh, our old man, control us, then we will die, I believe that means that eventually we will die spiritually. We'll lose God's life if we continue to live our life with our flesh control. It also means your dreams will die. Your potential will die. Your relationships won't be what they should be. Because if you're always saying what you feel, if you're always letting your flesh control you, holding grudges, compromising, let me tell you, it's good. It feels good to feed the flesh. But you won't like the results. You won't get where you want to be, where you're supposed to be. The scripture says in Romans chapter 8, in verse number 7, in fact, the mindset that is focused on the flesh fights God's plan and refuses to submit to his direction because it cannot. You see, you cannot submit to God's will when you're letting your flesh control you. It says no matter how hard they try, God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by the flesh. See, God doesn't want us controlled by our flesh. He wants us controlled by his spirit. You cannot please God if you let your flesh, your old man, control you. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 13, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God.
Yeah.
The Living Bible says, if they through the power of the Holy Spirit, if you crush the flesh and its evil deeds, you will live. The Passion Bible says, if the life of the flesh puts to death the corrupt ways of the flesh, we then will taste his abundant life. Do you know that if you want to walk in the abundant life that God has for you, the key is don't let your flesh control you. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. Are you still here?
Yes.
Instead of letting our flesh, our old man, control us and following what he says, We must put the flesh to death and follow the Holy Spirit's impulses. It says in the Passion Translation of verse 14, I love it, Romans 8, 14, the mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what a mature Christian is? A mature Christian is someone who doesn't do everything their flesh tells them to do. Amen. They do what the Holy Spirit is directing and leading them to do. So that means I have to just listen to discipline. When you see, when your flesh, your old man, tries to get back up, when you're tempted to do whatever you feel, you're going to say, no, I'm not going to let my flesh control and rule me. Amen. See, when you do the right thing when it's uncomfortable, that's when you're keeping the old man, the flesh, down. And the scripture says in Hebrews 12, verse 11, it says, all discipline seems to be more pain than pleasure at the time. Yet later, it will produce a transformation of character, bringing a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who yield to it. It doesn't feel good at the time to walk away when someone hurts you. It feels good to insult them back. It doesn't feel good to stay home and study for the test when your friends are out having fun. The flesh likes to be comfortable. But if you're comfortable all the time, you won't grow. The reason that some people are stuck where they are, it's not because they're not talented. And it's not because they don't have favor. It's because they keep letting their flesh control them. They keep letting that old sinful man get back up. They're not disciplined to do the right thing when it's hard. See, you've got to be consistent. The flesh is not going to go away. I promise you, you're never going to get so spiritual that you don't have to deal with carnal desires. So, Pastor Steve, I wish I was a pastor. That must be so great. You don't have the flesh to deal with. You just walk in the spirit all the time. That's what I mean. I deal with the same things you deal with. Probably more so. Probably more so. You know why? Because the enemy comes against me probably more than he comes against you. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 15, listen to this. This is the Apostle Paul. He said, for what I am doing, I don't understand. For what I will to do, I do not practice, but what I hate, that's what I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the Lord that it is good. But now, it's no longer I who do it, but sin dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Let me tell you, there's nothing good in your flesh. Anyone know what I'm talking about? That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 31, he said, I die daily. I die daily. In 1 Corinthians 9, 27, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. How many of you know the Apostle Paul wrote over half the New Testament? How many of you know the Apostle Paul was taken up to heaven 3 times? Yet Paul admitted that he had to deal with his flesh on a daily basis. The Apostle Paul, who wrote half of the New Testament that you read, said, I've got to deal with my flesh. I die daily. See, every day we have to say no to things. No, I'm not going to make that comment. I'd like to, but I'm not going to. No, I'm not going to watch that. The Bible says, put nothing wicked before your eyes. No, I'm not going to hang out with that friend. They always cause me to compromise. You're going to tell the flesh, you're not going to rule me. I'm not going to do everything you tell me to do. I'm not going to eat everything you tell me to eat. And you're at the mall. You can smell from 3 blocks away those cinnamon buns. You pull in the parking lot, the aroma's in the air. Your new man tells you, walk on by, you don't need that. But your old man, he may be dead, but he can smell too. He'll get up. He'll say, you need 3 of those, you deserve it. You can work out extra hard tomorrow, you can ask God to take away the calories. You heard of the walking dead? Your old man may be dead, but he'll get up and walk around and try and run your life. Romans 6 verse 6 says this, our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and we should no longer be slaves of sin. Our old man was crucified with Jesus. But do you know the Bible says you've got to put him off. Ephesians 4 verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You've got to put off the old man. The Passion Bible says this, let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man, the old self, which was corrupted by sinful and deceitful desires that spring from delusion. You've got to let go of the lifestyle of the old man. The Amplified Bible says, strip yourselves of your former nature, put off and discard your old and renewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life. Colossians 3 verse 9 says this, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man. Notice, you've got to put him off and put on the new man. Stop telling yourself, I can't control my temper. I can't break this addiction. I can't keep my eyes on the right things. Your old man is not that strong. The reason he's controlling you is you keep feeding him. Do you know whatever you keep feeding, that's what's going to be the strongest in your life? That's why coming to church is so important, because you know what's happening? You're getting fed to that. I'm feeding you with the Word of God. And what happens, you go out of here and you have a greater desire to obey God. But if you don't come to church, and instead you go out fishing on the boat, which is nothing wrong with fishing, but if you do that instead of church, that's when, I don't understand, honestly, I just don't seem to have the strength there. You need to be in church. You need to be praying every day. You need to be reading the Bible every day. You need to be feeding your spirit instead of feeding the flesh.
Amen.
Say amen. That's good preaching. Whatever you feed, that's what's going to grow. Every time you give into that temptation, you're feeding it. It gets stronger. Every time you're impatient, you're offended, you lose your temper, you're feeding the negative. You've got to do yourself a favor. Quit feeding the old man. Start starving the temptation. Starving the offense. Starving the negative. And it'll become weaker and weaker. Well, Steve, I've tried. I just don't have the discipline. Stop telling yourself that. Let me tell you what you should rather say. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. I love this scripture. It says, God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Say that. Say, God is working in me. He's given me the desire. He's given me the power to do what pleases Him. Say it again. God is working in me. He's given me the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. So instead of saying, I just can't do it, Pastor Steve, I'm so weak, I just don't have the discipline, I've tried, come on, pray for me. Instead of doing that, say, God is working in me. Giving me the desire and the power to do what is pleasing to Him. God is working in me. He's given me the desire and power to do what's pleasing to Him. How many of you know God's bigger than any temptation? God's bigger than any stronghold. God created you to be free. Instead of going around saying, I can't do it, I always give in. Rather going around saying, Father, I thank you I've got the power to do what's right. I thank you you've given me the desire to obey you, Lord. I thank you I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I thank you, Lord, the forces that are for me are greater than the forces that are against me. You've got to get your mind going in the right direction. That's the first step to victory. Are you here this morning?
Yes.
Are you getting anything out of this?
Oh, yeah.
Because I sure am. I'm preaching to myself, man. In the scripture, David and his men had been protecting the house of a man named Nabal. And Nabal was a wealthy man. He owned a lot of sheep, thousands of sheep. And it was the time of the year when they were shearing the sheep. They were having a big feast. And David sent a few of his men to go and ask Nabal for some food and supplies. Because they'd been protecting Nabal's sheep and his people. And since David was doing this good deed, being kind, protecting Nabal, you would think Nabal would be happy to give him something to eat. But Nabal was rude, ungrateful. Commentaries say that Nabal was a harsh man, hot-tempered, hard to get along with. He spent most of his life drunk. So he said to David's men, in 1 Samuel chapter 25, who's this fellow David? He sneered. Who does the son of Jesse think he is? There's a lot of servants these days who run away from their masters. Should I take my bread and my water and my meat that I've stored for the shearers and give it to a gang that comes from God knows where? So David heard about how he insulted him. David was furious. He told his men, get your swords. 400 of David's mighty men rode off. We are going to kill Nabal and every one of his men. Let me tell you something. You don't want to mess around with David. Or one of his mighty men. Do you know just one of David's men would kill 300 men in battle? So, Nabal had a wife named Abigail. She was not only extremely beautiful, she was wise. And when she heard what her husband did, she loaded up the animals with food, with supplies, and she headed out to meet David. She met him on the road, she bowed down, and she said to him, I want to read it to you. Nabal is a bad-tempered fool, or bull. But please don't pay any attention to what he said. He's a fool, just like his name means, because the name Nabal means fool. I didn't see the messengers you sent. Sir, since the Lord has kept you from murdering and taking vengeance into your own hands, I pray by the life of God that you and your own life too, that all your enemies shall be as cursed as Nabal is. And now, here's a present I brought to you and to your young man. Forgive me for my boldness in coming here. The Lord will surely reward you with eternal royalty to your descendants, for you are fighting his battles. You will never do wrong, never do us wrong throughout your entire life. Even when you are chased by those who seek your life, you are safe in the care of the Lord your God, just as though you were safe inside his purse. But the lives of your enemies shall disappear like stones from a sling. When the Lord has done all these good things he promised, and he's made you king of Israel, you won't want the conscience of a murderer who took the law in his own hands. And when the Lord has done these great things for you, please remember me. And David replied to Abigail, bless the Lord God of Israel who sent you to meet me today. He said, thank God for your good sense. Bless you for keeping me from murdering the man. How many of you know, husbands, you can sometimes thank God for my wife and her good sense who kept me from doing it. It says, yes, that's right. Carrying out vengeance with my own hands. I swear by the Lord, God of Israel, who kept me from hurting you, that if you had not come out to meet me, not one of Nabal's men would be alive tomorrow morning. And David accepted the gift, told her to return home without fear, for he would not kill her husband. When she arrived home, she found Nabal had thrown a big party. He was so drawing drunk that she didn't tell him anything about the meeting with David until the next morning. Now, 10 days later, Nabal has a stroke and drops dead. David sends word to Abigail asking her to become his wife. See, now that the old man had died, she was able to meet the new man. Nabal is symbolic of our old nature. Our old nature's hot-tempered, rude, got addictions. The name Nabal means fool. And as long as the old man is alive, you'll never see the new man. Now, I'm speaking figuratively. You know, see someone, some lady high five. No, that old man, your husband, you stuck with him. I'm talking about the old man who lives inside of you. The bitterness, the bad attitude, the sinful desires. Don't let the same issues keep you from seeing the new man. Don't let the same unforgiveness, the same hot temper, the same addictions hold you back for the next 20 years. Listen, you have the grace to overcome. The temptation may be strong, but the scripture tells us where sin abounded, grace abounded, much more. And the Passion Bible says, wherever sin increased, there was more than enough of God's grace to triumph all the more. And Romans 6:14 says, sin shall not have dominion over you because you're not under the law, but you're under grace. The Living Bible says, sin never again need to be your master, for now you are no longer tied to the law where sin enslaves you, but you are free under God's favor and mercy. Let me tell you, God's grace, his enabling power is greater than anything that is trying to stop you. And it's interesting to me that Nabal died 10 days after Abigail did the right thing. See, when you do the right thing, when it's hard, there will be times, like with her, you'll come into your 10th day where something suddenly breaks. That addiction doesn't have the power over you like it did, or that bad attitude, or that bad temper. It might not totally go away, but it doesn't control you like it used to control you. I wonder how much higher would we go in our life, and how much more of God's favor would we see if we would get rid of the old man, if we would start saying no to things that we know are holding us back. Sometimes it's a little thing that can keep you from a big blessing. Do you know that? The Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Just a little bitterness. Just a little compromising. Just a little negativity. You know, just this one friend I hang out with, Pastor Steve. You know, I've always been hot-tempered, Pastor Steve. Just this one little thing. It's time to get rid of Nabal. Can I tell you, nobody likes Nabal. Nobody wants to be around Nabal. You might as well put off the old man. Put him back in the grave. We don't want the walking dead you. We want the new you. We want the free you. We want the redeemed you. We want the blessed you. We want the confident you. We want the victorious you. We want the new you. Amen. You know, with Goliath? Goliath, in one sense, wasn't David's enemy. Goliath was God's enemy. Goliath was sent to establish the Israelites and to show the Philistines that God was on the Israelites' side. And when David was out in the shepherd's field, and when he was alone, nobody was watching, he killed the lion and he killed the bear that came and attacked his sheep. Those were his personal enemies. He could have slacked off and thought, well, nobody can see me out here. If I lose a sheep or two, no big deal. I mean, I must be honest with you. If I was a shepherd and a lion came to take one of my sheep, I would really have it. Have you ever seen a lion? Ever been up close to a lion? Oh my goodness, I have. I've been up this close to a lion. I promise you, he wants that sheep, he's going to have it. But not David. Not David. You know, I'm protecting my sheep. David was a person of excellence. He did the right thing. Nobody was watching. And because he was faithful to defeat his personal enemies, God was able to promote him and trust him with more. Have you ever wondered why God picked David? Because David defeated the lion and the bear, and that's why God trusted him with Goliath. You see, if you do like David and start defeating the things that nobody knows about, there are sins and there are weights that hold us back. Sometimes it's a sin we struggle with, or sometimes it's just a weight, just a small thing that's keeping you from being your best. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 verse 1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The Passion Bible says we must let go of every wound that has pierced us. Let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run last marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has already been marked out before you. Do you know that there is a path that God has for your life? Do you know that? Do you know the Lord gave me an idea to write a book? It's called The Path. It's the fact that God has a path for your life. And that if you'll follow that path, there's favor on the path, there's provision on the path, there's blessing on the path. God has a path for you to follow. He put it there before you were born. But you see, if you let your flesh control your life, you'll never follow God's path for your life. But if you lay aside every sin and the weight that would stop you, and you put your flesh under, you say, I want to be led by the Holy Spirit, you'll follow that path, and it's just blessing, and it's just favor, and it's just victory, and it's just good things on that path. Can you say amen? Let me tell you, it may be a sin we often struggle with, or maybe just a weight that's holding us back, or maybe even wounds that have healed, that have hurt us. You know, a weight could be a negative attitude. It could be being jealous of a friend. It could be showing up late to work all the time. Are there personal enemies that you're not dealing with? You think, oh, come on, Steve. Everybody deals with something. No, if you'll start defeating those small things that are holding you back, God will release the big things that He has in your future. See, sometimes we're waiting for the temptation to go away, thinking we're not going to have the desire anymore. And there are times when that happens. Don't misunderstand me. I pray for people that have had addictions and boom, it's gone, and they never had the temptation again. But most of the time, the temptation will still be there. Your old man will want to get back up again and again and again. But God has given you the grace to overcome that. Yeah, I'm a goal-oriented person. It's my personality type. You know, when I go to the grocery store, I'm on a mission. Don't do anything like that. I've got to go here, I've got to go there. I don't like waiting around. I used to be impatient. If there was a long line at the grocery store, I'd get impatient. If the waiter didn't come to my table fast enough, I'd get upset, I'd get frustrated with that. But I've learned to slow down, enjoy the journey. I'm more relaxed, I've learned to go with the flow. But even now, if something's not happening as fast as I would like it to, one of my personal struggles is riding the 95 in the fast lane with someone doing 60 miles an hour. My old man, he still wants to get back up. I've had him down for years. I mean, we buried him. We even had a nice funeral. But every week, my old man tries to get back up. What am I saying? God doesn't take away every temptation. God doesn't remove every negative desire to where you're never tempted to be impatient. You never tempted to be rude or to compromise. That's why Paul said, I die daily. Are you still tempted sometimes to get off course? Join the club. Welcome to the club. This is where discipline comes in. This is where the grace of God shows up, family. Yes, I know people God has delivered from an addiction. They don't have the desire anymore. That's the mercy of God. But if it doesn't happen that way for you, don't use it as an excuse to let that old man get back up. Keep the old man down so the new man can shine. Because let me tell you a key. Listen, what you defeat quickly is not your real enemy. What you conquer in a short time is not your real enemy. It's not what you have to be concerned about. Be grateful for that. But your real enemy doesn't go away so easily. David defeated Goliath in a matter of minutes. Do you know Goliath wasn't his real enemy? It was a victory that changed the course of his life. But it was gone in a moment. David's real enemy was Saul. King Saul was David's real enemy. Because Saul pestered David for years. Saul threw spears at David when he was being nice. Saul chased David through the desert for years. David had to live on the run. God could have delivered David from Saul like he did Goliath. But there are some enemies, listen to me, there are some enemies that God doesn't deliver us from. There are some temptations that God doesn't totally remove. And if God isn't taking it away, that means he's giving you the grace to stand strong. You've got the power to keep the old man down. You have the ability to do it. And you might be tempted to hold on to some bitterness. Somebody did you wrong. They hurt you. It's been years, that temptation's still there. That's your real enemy. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Keep the old man down. Do the right thing when it's hard. Because let me tell you, bitterness doesn't look good on you. Maybe you've got an ongoing temptation with alcohol. Or with sexual lust. Or to be negative, or to be critical. Every person has a soul. Everyone has a sin that tries to ensnare them. There's a temptation, there's an attitude, some area of compromise that doesn't go away. You need to know what your real enemy is. Don't let the souls wear you down to where you think, well, this is just who I am. No, you need to announce to that soul, you will not keep me from my destiny. If you never go away, I'm not giving in. I'm not letting the old man back up. I'm gonna keep resisting. I'm gonna keep standing strong. I'm gonna keep doing the right thing. I will fulfill God's destiny in the name of Jesus. Amen. You see, too often we want a quick fix. Pastor Gene, just pray for me, God will deliver me instantly. Take away this hot temper. Lord, make me patient and do it overnight. You will defeat some giants overnight. You will conquer some Goliaths quickly. But most of the time, God will deliver you little by little. See, when he sees you doing your part, being patient when you could be upset, forgiving that person that did you wrong, resisting that temptation, as you keep passing these tests, one step at a time, God will begin to change things and turn things around. That's what happened. Are you listening to me? It happened to Jacob in the scripture. Jacob, remember the God of Abraham, Isaac, and? Jacob was dishonest. That was his soul. He deceived his brother out of his birthright. Being dishonest was the soul that was his enemy. He struggled with it for years. He wasn't disciplined. He didn't try to overcome it. He just accepted it for who he was. But look what happened in Genesis chapter 31. Excuse me, Genesis chapter 32 in verse 1. It says, Jacob went on his way and the angels of God met him. Jacob has an encounter with an angel. And it says in verse 24, Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. He's wrestling with the angel, wrestling with God. Now when he saw he did not prevail against him, the angel touched the socket of the hip of his head, and the socket of Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, my name is Jacob. He said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God, and you've struggled with God, with men, and you have prevailed. His name changed was to symbolize a new beginning. God was saying, Jacob, I'm giving you the grace to overcome this dishonesty. And Jacob, he did his best to change. He lived with integrity. He started making better decisions. But just because God touched him doesn't mean he turned into a different person and he didn't have these temptations anymore. In Genesis chapter 48, he came to the end of his life. And it says in verse 2, Jacob was told, your son Joseph is coming to you. And what happened? Israel strengthened himself and sat up in the bed. Can you see Jacob and Israel in the same verse? Now this is the end of his life and Jacob is still around. And Israel is still around. Notice who's there, Israel and Jacob. You would think that the scripture would just refer to him as Israel. But this was put in there to show us that he never totally got rid of Jacob. He lived as Israel, his new name. But Jacob didn't go away easily. Jacob kept trying to get up again and again. It's the same way with us. God made us a new creation. God recreated us. Amen? He says, you're no longer Jacob. You're no longer the deceiver. You're no longer the compromiser. Now you're Israel. You're a prince with God. Even though you're Israel, Jacob is going to try and get up out of the grave. He's going to try and work his way back in. There will be a conflict between these two men. Who you are called to be and who you used to be. I said there will be a conflict between the two men. Who you are called to be and who you used to be. See, when someone cuts you off in traffic, Israel says, no big deal, not going to ruin my day, bless the Lord. It would be easy if Jacob was totally gone. The problem is, the old man Jacob's still in there. When Israel says, I'm going to bless them, Jacob gets up and says, no, I'm going to curse them. The Israel, the new man, he wants to overlook the offense, but Jacob, the old man, he wants to tell him off. Israel, the new man, wants to resist the temptation and set a new standard. But Jacob, the old man, he wants to surrender to the temptation. See, when you find yourself wanting to compromise and give in the temptation and be impatient and be upset, you've got to say to yourself, no, Jacob, you're not getting back up. You're the old man. Stay in the grave. Israel, the new man, is in charge. The redeemed me, the free me, the blessed me, the confident me, that's who is in charge. Someone said, well, Pastor Steve, it's hard to take the high road. It's hard to resist temptation. It's hard to walk away when somebody insults you. Listen, I know that it may be difficult, but you will never come up higher and you will never fulfill God's destiny for your life if you're not willing to be uncomfortable sometimes. And I'm so glad you don't have to do this with your own strength, but you have the power of the Holy Spirit to enable you. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Say, I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strong in the power of His might. And listen, notice it doesn't say be strong for the Lord. It says be strong in the Lord. I love that. The Living Bible says, I want to remind you that your strength must come from the Lord's mighty power within you. I want to close this morning by just telling you two things that I believe help you to tap into God's strength and God's power to enable you to let the new man control you and put the old man down. Two things, really easy. Number one, pray. Pray. Remember when Jesus took the disciples into the Garden of Gethsemane on the night that it was before the night he was betrayed? He knew what was coming. What did he say to them? He said, keep watch and pray, so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Prayer gives you the strength to overcome temptation. Amen. Do you want to know one of the greatest keys to overcome temptation? Prayer. Prayer gives you the power to overcome the old man. Especially praying in the spirit, praying in tongues. Because 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4 says this, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. You are personally strengthened. When I pray in tongues, you know what happens? I feel strength come up on the inside of me. And it's a strength that enables me to put my old man down. The Living Bible says, a person speaking in tongues helps himself grow spiritually. And the second thing that I would tell you to do to tap into God's power is to read the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 28 says, strengthen me according to your word. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but
but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And the Passion Bible, I love the Passion Bible, it says true life is found in every word which constantly goes forth from God's life, from God's word. True life is found in God's word. And finally, I'm going to close with this. 1 Peter 2 verse 2. It says, in the same way that nursing infants cry for milk, you must intensely crave the spiritual, the pure spiritual milk of God's word, for this milk will cause you to grow to maturity, fully nourished and strong for life. You want to know how to be strong? Strength comes from the word of God. Strength and power comes from praying. Praying and reading God's word makes you a new man grow. The more you feed the new man on the inside, the more he'll rise up and control and dominate your life. Ephesians 4, remember it says, put off the old man, put on the new man. That's what we started out with today. Put off the old man, put on the new man. Notice that the putting off the old man and the putting on the new man, it's sandwiched right between and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You might, listen, you may have to let, you may have in the past, say, Pastor Steve, I've let the old man get up too many times. It's time to put him down and put on the new man. Amen? Amen. Say, this is a new day. I'm not letting my flesh control me anymore. I'm not letting the old man control me anymore. I'm done taking the easy way out. Say, I'm going to be disciplined. I'm going to keep the old man down. Say, God is working in me, giving me the desire and giving me the power to do what pleases Him. In the name of Jesus. Family, if you'll do this, I believe, I declare that bondages that have held you back are being broken right now. In the name of Jesus, I declare you are going to step into a new level of freedom, a new level of favor, a new level of growth. Like Peter, you are going to rise higher. You are going to overcome obstacles. You are going to become everything that God created and destined you to be. In the name of Jesus, do you receive it today? Do you believe it today? Give God thanks and give God praise. Once you bow your head for a moment, I want to pray. Lord, thank you today that you have made us new creations in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we are brand new on the inside. And thank you, Lord, that you've given us the grace and the power to be able to put off that old man, to bury that old man, and to let the new man control us, to let your spirit guide us and lead us. And I pray for every person here this morning, Lord. And I pray that as they go out of here today, that they would have a new power, that they would have a new determination to put down the old man and to put on the new man. They would have a new determination to not let the flesh control them, but to let your spirit lead and guide them. In Jesus' name, while you have your eyes closed, and while you have your heads bowed, I just want to pray one last prayer. I want to pray for anyone that is here this morning and you're not sure where you stand with God today. You're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord. I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to Him? Or do you have to be honest? So Pastor Steve, if I die today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you if you died today, are you sure of where you would spend eternity? Because let me tell you, there is a heaven that awaits us. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. Include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. Because I want to make sure that all is right and all is well with me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to know the Lord is with me. I want God's blessing in my life. Pray for me. If that's you, I want you quickly right now, while eyes are closed, what it's about. Do you want to be included in this prayer? Quickly lift your hand up high right now. Just slip it up. I'm looking for hands. Lift your hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor Steve. Include me in that prayer. If your hand is raised, you're included in that prayer. God bless you. Thank you. Everyone who lifted up your hand, I want you to say this prayer. The Bible says in Romans 10 verse 9, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's just that simple. Say this prayer. Everyone say this. Say, dear God, I thank you today that you love me so much.
You love me so much.
You sent your son. The Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Come to this earth.
Come to this earth.
For me. To die on the cross. For me. To shed his blood. For me. To take my sin. Lord, you said, if I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, say it with me. If I confess with my mouth,
Jesus is Lord,
you said I would be saved.
So
I do this today. Say, I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Save me, Lord. I surrender my life to you. I make Jesus the Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to live for you. Say this. Say,
I thank you, Lord.
Because I have received you. Because I have confessed. I am now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. Say, God, you're my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home. And my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Praise God. Did you get something out of this morning?
Yes.
This morning was a little more of a Bible teaching. A little more of a help you grow. Sometimes we have sermons that are how God wants to bless you, and it's exciting. But then sometimes there's sermons that are a little more meaty, but it helps you to grow.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Well, I just want to once again thank everyone that has given to our new building. I want to remind you, as Pastor Jill comes, she's going to share scripture. We're going to close in a couple of minutes. I just want to remind you, if you're giving your tithe, use the black envelope for Christian Family Church. But if you want to give toward the new building, use the red envelope for Send Church. And as I say, we've got 5 weeks to go. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, I can't wait. Tell your neighbor, I'm putting off the old man. And I'm putting on the new.
Awesome. I just want to read a couple of scriptures, a couple of verses, as we prepare ourselves to give. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, Moses was giving the children of Israel some wise instruction. And he said to them, make sure you don't forget God, your God, by not keeping his commandments, his rules and regulations that I command you today. Make sure that when you eat and are satisfied, build pleasant houses and settle in. See your herds and flocks flourish and more money come in. Watch your standard of living going up and up. Make sure you don't become so full of yourself and your things that you forget God, your God. I think of somebody when we were pastoring a church in Cape Town. There was a couple that came in and we spent quite a bit of time with him, and he asked us to pray for his business. His business began to do really well. He took a whole number of factories right near where our church was, and he became so successful that he forgot God. Didn't come back to church. A couple of years later, fast forward, he passed away. And they had the funeral in our church building. And the song that they played they asked to play, which made us to shake our head, was I Did It My Way. And I was like, how can you forget? You asked God to bless you all along the way. And when it came down to it, I was like, well, that was all me, right?
Yeah.
We're going to watch out. But let me just read one more verse. From verse 18, he said, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Bible says that God gives us the power or the ability to get wealth. That's good news, right? And he does, you know, one of the ways he does it is he gives us laws and principles. You know, you read the Word of God and it says if you do this, this will happen. If you work hard and you work diligently, you'll be promoted. It says that if you, a tenth of what we earn belongs to God, and when we bring the tenth to God, when we bring the tithe to God, the windows of heaven will open above us. God gives us instructions. Jesus said, give, and it will be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So there's certain principles. God's given us not just a guessing game here, but he gives us principles that if we follow, that we'll see ourselves increase and progress, amen, and succeed in life. And so there's two things. It says that he wants to establish his covenant. God wants to prove he is our God, he's on our side. And secondly, he wants to give us blessings so that we're able to increase our influence in the world, right? That we're able to see more people come into the kingdom of God, that we're able to help more people, that we're able to spread the gospel. So he wants us to prosper and to be blessed so that can happen, amen? So this morning as we come together, that's what we're doing. We're saying, Lord, I'm coming to follow your principles. I'm coming to follow your word. I'm trusting you over my life. I'm trusting that as I give, you give back to me. I'm trusting you make me a channel, a blessing. And when I see a need, that I have what it takes. Amen. You with me on this? So as we prepare to give, the envelopes are there. There's various ways to give. It'll come up on the screen. There are various ways to give. I will read them to you. Envelopes, online, mobile, and by mail. The mobile app is my favorite, and texting. So we're going to get ready to give. Amen?
Amen?
Let's just pray. Father, I thank you for every person that is honoring you today. I thank you, Father, for each one. We thank you for our jobs. We thank you for our income. We thank you that you are our source. You are our source of supply. We thank you, Father, that as we give, you honor your word to each and every one of us. Father, that we will see blessing and increase to prove that you are our God and you're establishing your covenant with us, and you put money and finance into our hands that we're able to extend your kingdom, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 All right. Praise God. Ashes, are you ready this morning? Is everyone ready today? You're ready? Go right ahead. Thank you so much. I want to just mention that we have some very important meetings coming up. Getting ready to launch our new church in our new building. We want to be ready. So we have some meetings that I want to invite you to. We call them 18 meetings. I want to encourage you to get on and become part of our 18. A stands for Ascend Church. You can hear 18. So we have Bringers and Ushers meeting on Thursday, June 14th, 7 p.m. We have media meeting on Tuesday, June 19th. And we have kids church meeting on Tuesday, June 26th. All these meetings are taking place at our new building at 1224 Indian Town Road. Now, don't phase me out just yet. Right? If you are currently serving on one of these teams, if you're a greeter, an usher, if you've been involved in our media, or if you're involved in Children's Church, I need you to be at these meetings. Very, very important. Very important. But if you are sitting here and you say, Pastor Steve, I'm not on any of those teams, but I'd like to get involved, I want to invite you. We want new people. We want new people on these teams, on the greeters and ushers teams, the media team, kids' church. Listen, when we go into our new building, we step in everything up. Everything's going to be stepped up. We're going to be starting filming again, going on television again. We need a full media team. And with the greeters, I want people out there in Indian Town Road with signs. I mean, we want people to come to our Ascend Church and be overwhelmed by the welcome, by the enthusiasm, by the passion. One thing that is going to come to an end is this coming to church late. That is going to end. Because I promise you, if you keep coming late, you will be outside looking in the window. We want to get there early, right?
Yeah.
So I want to ask you, please, be on one of these teams, get involved. Really, that's what makes this church feel like it's your church, is when you get involved, become a part, serve. Isn't that right, Abel? So glad Stephanie was here today. I met her. She was working in a promotion at one of the stores I went into, and she was handing out things, and she asked me to take something. And then I said, "Where are you from?" She said, "I'm from New York." I said, "Oh, that's great." And then I said, "Well, how are you going to be here?" She said, "I'm not sure." I said, "Where are you going from here?" She said, "Wherever the Lord leads me." Well, I know that. So we started talking. It's such funny because she's a great singer, and this is her dad, and he's George. He's from Lebanon. And so she said, "I'm going to come with my dad on Sunday." I invited her. She said, "I've heard about your church. You've heard about us." And she'd been to Boone Church, where my son is the creative director down in Miami. She'd been driving 2 hours to Boone. She'd been to Hillsong. I said, "We know all the same people." So I'm so glad you were here.